Would you like to see how Robert and I both approach a chart differently? We have readings scheduled Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday where you can do just that from the gallery. Kind of like speed dating for chart reading. Well, not really. But if you'd like to peek in with us, registration is at the top of funastrology.com. Welcome in to the Fun Astrology Podcast. Thomas Miller, thanks for joining us here on Thursday, April 4th, the day that we at least crescendo the moon wobble, where around these eclipses. I was just reflecting, okay, so we have the Taiwan earthquake, we have the stepped up issues in the Middle East, my family situation. You know, the last moon wobble around an eclipse, which they always are, was last October. And that was when the Hamas attack occurred. I mean, some serious stuff, just reflecting on it. Well, the sun conjoins the north node of the moon in Aries today, not until later on. It's 6:10 p.m. Eastern, and that peaks what is known as the moon wobble, popularized back in the 1930s and 40s by Carl Payne Tobey, guy who was best friends with Grant Louis. Grant Louis' work had a big impact on Linda Goodman, whose work had a big impact on Robert Glasscock. So it's like we are just a couple of steps away from the guy that originated this whole conversation about watch out for things like these calamities during the about 3 weeks prior to a conjunction or a square between the sun and the nodes of the moon. Now, tomorrow we'll set up the eclipse. Also an announcement. Now, I had some questions about what are we doing for the eclipse. Level Up on Sunday night is where we're going to do the eclipse thing. That's on the Fun Astrology YouTube channel and the Subconscious Mind Mastery and Fun Astrology podcast listeners private group in Facebook. If you'd like to join, come over there. That'll be 8 p.m. Eastern Sunday night, the eclipse special. I'm not going to do the thing with Robert, and I'm not going to Sedona, as mentioned. Just realized how much I've been through and really having to honor my body here and try to get myself physically and emotionally back into the full swing. You know, when you move or when somebody dies, they say those are the two biggest emotional things. Well, how about your whole family and a move across the country? I mean, I'm finally realizing what I've been through. No medications, no alcohol, none of that stuff, just processing it, but realizing the anvil that has fallen on my head. And you know, some of the best therapy is a good book, right? Well, one of the best authors out there, especially in the realm of astrology, is Stephen Forrest, no question. His writing style applied to this craft is unmatched. And the Book of the Moon is also unmatched. I've been telling you, it really will light your fire about not only your soul path, but about the moon that we see and we feel every 2 days. It changes signs, and Steve really brings it to life. This little excerpt is from the beginning of Chapter 5, and I wanted to play it because it sets the tone for really the rest of the book. At this point in the book, he has done the technical details about the moon, which are phenomenal. Then this is the pivot chapter that starts to set up his 8-phase lunar system. And this chapter goes into detail on how he determined that 8 was the best for him. So we get a glimpse not only into the construct of how to approach the moon with the phase system, but also how Steve Forrest processes when he's trying to put some concept together. I thought that was the most fascinating part of this, so I wanted to share a few minutes of it with you today. Chapter 5. How many phases? In a never-ending circle, the moon cycles continuously through its phases. Like any circle, it has no natural divisions, no beginning or end. Arbitrarily, we usually choose to think of the new moon as the start of the cycle. That is the darkness out of which the visible phases emerge and grow. So calling it the point of initiation makes intuitive sense. But the moon is dark for about 3 nights. Should we start the cycle when the moon first disappears? Or should we wait another day and a half for the more precise and more abstract moment of the true sun-moon conjunction? Or should we start the cycle when we get our first peek at the quote-unquote new waxing crescent moon? Any one of those three answers could make sense, even though they are very different. And what is a lunar phase anyway? Where does one stop and another start? In its organic reality, the moon's cycle is just a seamless circle. All of our systems of phase division are human inventions. In a very real sense, the moon is in a different phase every millisecond. If you ever had the joy of gazing at the moon at high magnification with a good astronomical telescope, you'll know that if you are patient, you can actually watch the Earth's shadow, called the Terminator, moving across the lunar landscape, slowly revealing more mountains, plains, and craters. And of course, that is what creates the phases, however we define them. Physically, at the moon's equator, the Terminator advances about 9.6 miles per hour, about the pace of an enthusiastic jogger. In a couple of weeks, it reveals the whole disk of the moon, and in a couple more, it erases the moon from the sky. Bottom line, it is one continuous sweep. And again, any human attempt to divide the process into phases is simply a projection of the human mind. In this book, we will be exploring a system of dividing the lunar cycle into 8 phases. Other systems exist, and we'll consider them briefly in the next few pages. If someone presented a system of 1,728 phases, I'd be nervous about how cumbersome it would have to be, but I'd have no reason to doubt that it could work. The key here is to realize that phases have at least as much to do with the human consciousness as they have to do with anything objectively intrinsic to the moon itself. When I began the thinking and research that led me to write this book, I was not able to find an existing system of phase division that resonated consistently with my heart and mind. Dane Rudyard's 8-phase system came the closest, and I'm building my system on his chassis. But as you will see, my understanding of it is substantially different from his. But before I got there, I explored a number of blind alleys. A few lines ago, I brought up a system of 1,728 phases. That number is not random. It's 12 times 12 times 12. Given the centrality of the number 12 in astrology, such a system would have an inherent credibility. Ditto for a system of 144 phases, 12 squared. Or very simply, why not a system of 12 phases corresponding to the signs of the zodiac? That was where I started. In my despair at not being able to find an existing system of phase division that grabbed me, I experimented. A 12-phase system seemed plausible. Why not imagine an Aries phase followed by a Taurus phase, and so on? But where to begin? What sign of the zodiac would correspond to the new moon? The new moon starts the lunar cycle, and conventionally, we think of Aries as the first sign of the zodiac. But making Aries the sign of the new moon didn't feel right at all. The new moon is subtle and invisible, while Aries is fiery and in your face. So Cancer maybe, since it is quiet and internal, and the moon rules it? Or Capricorn, since it relates to the dark of winter, which might resonate naturally with the dark of the moon? Those two seemed like good ideas. Better, at least, than trying to make Aries correspond to the new moon. I tried them both. They failed. While you can make almost anything work, quote-unquote, in astrology, if you want it badly enough, that kind of wishful thinking and the resulting self-deception have been the bane of the craft for centuries. Long ago, I learned that whenever something begins to feel forced, I should trust my gut and abandon it. That's what happened with my attempts to start a cycle of 12 phases with Capricorn or Cancer. And of course, the Book of the Moon is available on Audible and Apple Books, and you don't have to have a subscription on Audible. A lot of people think you do. No, you can buy it one off and just check the price between it and Apple Books if you have access to that. Pick up the best deal and you can just buy the book. You don't have to subscribe. All right, we'll see you back tomorrow. We'll set up the weekend and the big eclipse on Monday. Have a good one. Bye-bye.